In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Destruction is coming, and it is coming quickly. The sun and moon will refuse to shine. The stars will fall from their beauty, and the heavens will be rolled up like a scroll. Every mountain and island will be removed from its place, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. All men's activities will cease. Their jaws will drop in silence as they watch in horror this destruction. As in the days of Noah, so it will be in these days. Men will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, oblivious to the impending destruction. Like a thief in the night, it will come. Suddenly, without warning, without notice, it will fall upon all men, both the living and the dead, and sweep them away in a torrent of destruction. And then every eye shall see him. And they will beg for the mountains to fall on them. They will cry out in fear, begging the hills to cover them, to hide them from this land. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who can stand? Who can flee? Who can hide? Even if they go down to the very depths of the ocean, he is there. Suddenly, he will swiftly ride out of heaven to quickly carry out judgment on all men. And rightly so. For every inclination of man's heart is evil all the time. Perhaps our society and our morals are worse than in days past, but then again, there is nothing new under the sun. Man's heart is the same. Our hearts are the same as those who have gone before us. Our hearts are unclean. We have spoken crude words exposing what resides in its depths. But must we also destroy our children, tearing them out of their mother's wombs just so that they don't become a burden to us? Do we not show more compassion and mercy towards stray kittens than our own flesh and blood? Kittens are not as helpless and as weak as we may think they are, and certainly not as weak as those that we destroy with our pretend medicine and make-believe choices. The depravity of our flesh is not seen in how we treat those who threaten us with guns or bombs, but in how we treat those who are weak and helpless. We divorce our wives, lie to our brothers, steal from our employers, gossip about our friends. We are shrewd and calculating, doing only what benefits us. Not all is fair in love and war, or politics for that matter. Where are our ethics? Where is our standard? Where is our respect for others? Where are our morals? And yet man continues on feigning civility, hiding behind eco-friendly cars, recyclable bags, glass containers, organic foods, convincing himself by these things that he is a good person. Tucked away in his house with many people surrounding him, he feels safe and secure. No destruction will ever come, no devastation, especially when everyone is on the same path that we are. We're even learning how to control nature to some degree, how to prevent the increase of fires or the devastation of floods and earthquakes, how to see the warning signs in these things so we can save our lives. And so we assume that these advancements will continue onward and upward. We assume that life's advancements of technology or computers will just continue on this trajectory. And so many look for their peace and safety and security in these things. And yet, if the wealth of Pompeii could not save its city, how can our wealth or technology save us? Even from a flow of lava or an earthquake, much less the wrath of the Lamb when he comes. We are not exempt either. It is not those people who have ruined our world, but it is us. By our sins, we have only added to it. We have taken refuge in the work of our hands and our accomplishments or our advancements, all the while ignoring our Lord's command. We know he's coming. We believe he truly is coming. but what are the chances that he comes back in my lifetime? Not to mention this very day. And so we end up living for ourselves, doing things that we enjoy. We hold grudges. We refuse to reconcile with others. We indulge our flesh, perhaps only for one night. We let our heart and our eyes wander. We give in to hatred, to greed, and to laziness. We do the things that we want to do because we do not think that he is coming today. We assume we can always straighten up tomorrow. We're only young once, so we can mature tomorrow. Tomorrow we can live in line with God's law. Tomorrow we can see if we can truly forgive that person. Tomorrow we will repent. Tomorrow we can pray. Tomorrow we can study the word. Tomorrow Christ will come. It's very similar to that sign that you see in some restaurants: free drinks tomorrow. And yet tomorrow never comes. And so our own hearts betray us. We like it here. We're comfortable here with the things and the people surrounding us. We find joy and even peace, safety, and security here. And we truly do not want Christ to come and take it all away. At least not today. We're having too much fun. Repent. Repent not because you enjoy the gifts of God, but repent because you would rather have these things than his heaven. We live only a few days, says Job, and they are full of trouble. Like a flower, we wither away. Like a shadow, we do not endure. This earth is not our possessions. We do not own our house or our clothes or our food or our money. God owns it. It is his. And he lets us borrow it for a time, but only for a time, for soon we pass away, soon we wither away, and then he takes what he has given to us and gives it to someone else. Do not hold on to these things. Do not place your trust or safety or even your happiness and confidence in these things. They do not endure because you are not enduring on this earth. Instead, flee. Flee. And do not look back, lest you be turned into a pillar of salt. Do not go down to grab your iPhone or your tablet, as much as you enjoy it. Do not go back to get a coat or anything else. Flee. Flee quickly. For that destruction is coming faster than a flood, and it will wash away all the earth. Flee, not tomorrow, but today. Tomorrow may never come. Flee today. Flee with haste. Flee quickly. Flee to Christ. Flee to Christ. He will tuck you away in his holy wounds, where there is protection from all wrath, all vengeance, all destruction, all devastation, all horror. He will tuck you away, surrounding you with his precious blood by grace, so that you may be safe on the day when he returns. So flee to Christ. Remain in those holy wounds of Christ, not just one day out of the week, but every day. Remain in those wounds surrounded by his blood while you are at work or at home, while doing chores or even while you are having fun, while awake or even asleep. He is your protection. He is your defense. He is your righteousness. Today is the day that he returns. So live each day as if it is your last day. Be prepared and ready at all times, so be reconciled to all. Live in love and humility. Let go of your hatred or your grudges. Faithfully work. Joyfully play. Fervently pray. Eagerly receive his forgiveness, which alone can set you free. It is not tomorrow that you need these things, but today. For this very day, the Lord may come down from those clouds. Flee to him. These days have been shortened. These last days have been shortened, or else no one would have survived. The last days are the time between Christ's ascension into heaven and his return on the last day. They have been shortened. 2,000 years to us does not seem like a short time, but to God they are. It is. He does everything for you. He has shortened these days for your good. He loves you. He protects you. With every decision that he makes, you are in the forefront of his mind. He will not let you fall. He will not let you be swept away in any trouble or destruction. He has died for you. He lives for you. And now ascended to the right hand of God the Father, he sits as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ruling all things for your eternal good. He is still your Jesus, your brother, and his pierced hands spin the universe. His power sustains all things. So flee to him. He is still your brother and your God. If he would give his life for you on the cross, if he would take your place to suffer the flames of hell and be laid in your tomb, then he certainly will gather you to his loving embrace to protect you from all that is about to happen. So flee to him. He loves you. He has ordered everything for your good. This world is not out of control. It is not. Christ controls it. He is in complete control of the direction. So flee to him. The natural phenomenon that we see in natural disasters are signs that he has given to us that he is returning soon. Perhaps today, all those signs have been fulfilled. Every drop of rain is for your good. Every snowflake that falls for your benefit. Every joy, a gift. Every hardship or trouble, that too is for your good. If Christ is in control of all things, then certainly all things are for your good, whether you can see that good here on earth or not. Perhaps he is just trying to draw your attention away from the things of this world so that you can let go of your stuff, set your iPhone down just for a moment, and eagerly await his return. He leads you to confess, "I am ready. Come today. I am ready for heaven. Come soon. Come quickly. Come and bring me home. I am ready to see your face and to stand before you in your glory forevermore. I'm ready to stand next to loved ones who have gone on before me. I'm ready to be free from pain and sorrow and suffering and hardship and heartbreak and tears." And if you, out of your infinite wisdom, decide to call me home before the last day, then you will still take care of my family and my friends. You will still feed my wife and kids, for they are not mine. They are yours. They are a gift given to me for a time, but they are yours forever. So come quickly. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Do not wait for tomorrow, but listen today. Do not eat tomorrow, eat today. Live for heaven today, not for tomorrow may never come. He desires to draw you into his loving embrace so that he may forgive you and prepare you for the day when he does come. So do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. For the smallest of these heavenly joys is inexpressible, unexplainable, unfathomable to our feeble human minds, and it truly far surpasses even the birth of our children. Today they are yours in Christ. So flee to Christ. Today these are yours. We teach what we believe. Christ teaches what he knows. For no one has gone into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man, your God and your Savior. And so he tells you these things because he knows what is about to happen. And he loves you. So flee. Flee to Christ. Soon he will come on those clouds of heaven. Soon. Swiftly, quickly, suddenly, like a flash of lightning, he will appear. But for you tucked away in the holy wounds of Christ, that last day will not be a day of anxiety or fear, but a day of joy. It will not be a day of wrath or mourning, but a day of peace. It will not be a day of devastation or destruction, but it is the very day of your salvation. For the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. and so we will be with the Lord forever. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.